Flyer and the symphony behind him. Huh? All right, Joanne O'Connell. Thank you, Miss
Kent. Thank
you. Sempre il vivere del Dio poi etare di gioia in gioia, o che scorre il viver mio pie sentieri del piacer, a che il giorno muoia,
Joanne O'Connell. The folks who listened to this show on the pure old-fashioned radio missed a lovely gown, didn't they? Huh? These evening gowns with the low-cut backs. The trouble with them is when a man puts his arm around a girl, it's like patting a bald-headed man on the head, you know? Thank you. I like that one myself. I have a nice letter from Bill Bloxam. Do you remember Bill Bloxam? Well, he was a winner on this show about last November, I guess, because that's what he says in the letter here. He says, "Dear Mr. G., last November, I was a winner on your Talent Scout program, singing Younger Than Springtime from South Pacific. This led to an audition with Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein. I know you'll be pleased to hear that I'm a member of the Road Company, which opens in Cleveland on the 24th. That's tonight, isn't it? Good for him. I will have a chance to understudy and wishfully hope it leads to a leading role. Thanks to you and your wonderful group, this may be the break I need. Regards to all the gang from Bill Bloxam." It doesn't matter. Now, who knows? Maybe somebody you pick tonight will get a similar break. Let's meet our next talent scout, huh? Oh, boy, we got lots of lovely gals tonight.
Hello, dear.
You're Virginia Farrell, aren't you?
That's right,
sir. Miss Farrell, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a secretary of a Thompson Motors in Stamford.
Thompson Motors in Stamford. What cars do they sell?
Pontiac.
Pontiac, good.
Yeah, Pontiac?
Oh, sure, I got two of them down
two?
Home.
Two?
Yeah, one of them belongs to the finance company, and the other one...
As I am.
The other one, me and the bank have a note on. You know? Oh, it's wonderful, you know, that lovely farm of mine in Virginia. Just the two of us, me and the Loudoun County Bank. But tell me, what's your job there? You're a secretary?
That's right.
To the big boss?
Everybody.
To everybody?
That's right.
Oh, you do everybody's work, huh? Uh-huh. Well, who'd you find for us? Somebody in Stamford?
That's right, sir.
Good. Who was it?
Kenneth Smith.
Who?
Kenneth Smith.
Kenneth Smith, huh? Kenneth Smith. Gee, if you lift, you'd have a terrible time with that, wouldn't you? Kenneth Smith. What? Do that again. I like that. She gave me the knee then. I like that. You know, Mug usually sits and works here by me, and if I'm not doing something right, she keeps giving me this. And I sort of like it. Tell me about Kenneth Smith now. What did he do?
Well, I first heard him at the Second Congregational Church in Greenwich.
Great.
Was introduced to him, and then since then we've become friends. And we're friends.
And you're friends. Isn't doing any better than that yet?
He's married.
Oh, he's married. Oh, gee whiz. Doggone it. So am I. Tell me, well, you didn't tell me yet what he does. You just said you heard him in church. What's he do, preach?
No.
Oh, he's a singer.
Yeah.
A baritone, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. And what kind of a baritone? A high one or a bass?
No, he's a bass baritone.
Say, you don't see many of them. And what's he going to sing for us tonight?
If I Loved You from Carousel.
Oh, wonderful. If I Loved You from Carousel. Kenneth Smith, thank you very much, Miss Farrell. You're a lot of fun. Kenneth Smith. I can't say it myself. Kenneth Smitty. Earl Wilson had the cutest thing in his column here today. Hal Block asked a radio actor, he says, "When are you on the air?" And the actor said, "Right after Godfrey." And Block says, "Be more explicit." Talent scout, Mrs. Elizabeth Rhodes. Hello there. How do you do? That's better, Paul. Thank you very much. Didn't trip you up. You did all right. Mrs. Rhodes, who's your hubby?
Mr. Rhodes.
Guess that's an old American custom. But what's he do?
He's a pilot for Pan American Airways.
A pilot on Pan American?
Yes.
Oh, fine. What's his run now?
To Puerto Rico
and back, huh? How long has he been with Pan American?
About 7 years now.
7 years, huh? Did they call him Dusty?
Yes.
That's right. Everybody named Rhodes is named Dusty Rhodes.
Yes.
We used to have several officers in the Navy named Rhodes. Wherever you went was always Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes. Never muddy or anything like that. Foggy, huh? Tell me, do you have any little roads, little alleys? Three little steps, huh? Oh, fine. Are you all boys?
No, boy and two girls.
Boy and two girls. Oh,
they're
yes.
Watching tonight.
They're watching tonight?
Yes.
Just look over there and let them see you.
My little girl doesn't know how I can get into that television box.
She hasn't figured it out. Especially with me with you. Can you tell me something? Now, You've been married some time. What is it that makes a man's nose itch?
Maybe you have a cold.
No. But all day long, this thing, I've been doing this all day. Why is that?
I've heard it's because you're going to kiss a fool.
Because I'm going to kiss a fool. Let's get into the talent here. Who did you bring us, Mrs. Rhodes?
I brought a flutist named Ruth Freeman. She's won several scholarships, among them a scholarship to Juilliard Graduate School. She was a soloist and goes on tour with the Salzedo Concert Ensemble. She toured with the United States, Canada, and Cuba. She gave a town hall recital and played at Radio City Music Hall for 3 years. And she's played with the Chautauqua Symphony and the New York Symphony, the Cleveland Women's Symphony, and she's played under Stokowski in the Brooklyn Symphony under Sir Thomas Beecham. And she's done both radio and TV and recording.
Say, this gal's got a real background, hasn't she? A flutist. We've never had a flutist on the show before, have we, Archie? It's about time we did. Good. Thank you very much, Mrs. Rhodes. My compliments to your husband and your three lovely children. And thanks a lot for bringing us Ruth Freeman. Ruth Freeman. She sure can play that thing, too, can't she? Well, let's meet our next talent scout, Miss Gloria Green. Hello there. How are you? Where do you come from?
I was born in Chicago, and I've lived in New York for 9 years.
Born in Chicago, live in New York for 9 years, huh? What do you do for a living?
Well, I owned a beauty salon for 4 years, and I've sold it, and I've been studying singing.
And you're doing that what now?
I'm studying singing.
Studying singing. Oh, good for you. Where?
Girard School.
Girard School, huh? You want to get into show business, do you?
Try.
Well, that's good. If you can sing as good as you look, you ought to go very far, my dear. Well, who'd you bring for us?
I brought the Coleman Brothers, the vocal quartet headed by Lambda Coleman. And they've worked around Kathy Society. That's where I first met them. In the Bowery Club in Detroit, and see Palomar.
Is this the gang they call the Millionaires?
Yes.
That's the one,
that's
huh?
The one.
Well, 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 they made some Decca records, didn't they?
Decca, Arco, and they made Coleman records. They did radio work.
Oh, fine. I'm very glad you brought them to us, Miss Green. Thanks very much. Let's have them in the Lipton spotlight. The Coleman Brothers.
Just get to battle round Jericho, round Jericho, Jericho. Just get to battle round Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Just get to battle round Jericho, round Jericho, Jericho. Just get to battle round Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down.
Well, now gather round me, children, and listen to my song. I'm gonna tell you a story of Joshua, and it ain't gonna take me long. You can talk about your King of Gideon, you can talk about your Prince of Saul, but it's not like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho.
Break up. Just fit the battle round Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Just fit the battle round Jericho, and the boss come tumbling down. Just fit the battle round Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Just fit the battle round Jericho, and the boss come tumbling down.
Well, up to the walls of Jericho, and they march with spear in hand. You go blow the trumpet, Joshua cried for the battle in my hand. With the lamb around, sheep, a horse begin to blow, trumpets begin to sound. Then old Joshua shouted, glory!
And the boss come tumbling down.
Quick up and just fit the battle round Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Just fit the battle round Jericho, and the boss come tumbling down.
Jericho! Jericho,
now just fit the battle round Jericho, and the boss come tumbling down.
Oh, just fit the battle round Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Just fit the battle round Jericho, and the boss come tumbling down. Just fit the battle round Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Just fit the battle round Jericho, and the walls come tumbling.
Hold it, boys, wait a minute. I see a crack up there in that wall. Look like the wall's going to fall. Down!
Those were the Coleman Brothers. Now, before we get to the reprises when we're going to ask you to vote, I want to read a letter to you I got from Father Albert J. Nevins of the Mary Knoll Fathers. Mary Knoll, New York, Central Administration and Major Seminary. It says, Dear Arthur, many thanks for telling our little story the other morning about what God has joined together, let no man pull asunder. You remember that story I told the other day? With a cutie pie. And he says, the father says, they're glad that you were able to use it. If there's no objection from your end, we'd like to send you such items when they come into us. There is certainly is no objection, Father. Please keep sending them. For instance, he says, here's a hint for the Lipton people on how they can improve their chicken noodle soup. This bit of information comes from one of our missionaries in China. It seems he got into a discussion with a Chinese farmer one day, and the farmer insisted that Americans were uncivilized because of the way they kill chickens. The farmer told the missioner this. In China, we get the chicken intoxicated on rice wine before chopping off its head. This relaxes the victim, making the meat much more tender when cooked. It says, in America, the chicken is chased around the yard by a man with a cleaver. How can a chicken relax with a barbarian running after him to cut off his head? Thank you, Father Nevins. That was very nice. Well, let's see, back here in a reprise, and you folks are going to vote for him and tell me which one you want to be the winner tonight. We'll bring them out in the order in which they appeared. And we'll read your score off here. You ready? The first was the soprano Joanne O'Connell. Next, the baritone Kenneth Smith.
If I love you. Time and again I would try to say.
Then the flutist, Ruth Freeman. And the quartet, the Coleman Brothers.
Well, just fit the batter around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Just fit the batter around Jericho and the ball comes down.
The audience reaction indicator shows the winner to be the baritone, Kenneth Smith. Congratulations to you.
And thanks ever so much. The Columbia Broadcasting System.
From April of 1950, it's been Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but be with us again next week and invite a friend to listen and enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.
Tex, would you please put a new light bulb in the kitchen ceiling for me? We don't have a step ladder.
I'll be right with you, Miss Davis. Excuse me, folks. I'll be back before you can say Sam Houston.
You can say Dick Dallas, too. I've got to talk to Walter. So, you gave this candy to Mr. Boynton, Walter. Would you mind telling me what prompted that unusual action?
It's a lie. The fact that Mr. Boynton gave us a biology test this morning, which if I didn't pass would make me ineligible to manage the basketball team Friday night, has nothing to do with it.
I'm surprised at you. Why, that's nothing short of bribery. And I suppose I'll have to reimburse you for the chocolates you indirectly donated.
Oh, that won't be necessary, Miss Brooks. I got them for nothing from Mr. Conklin. Only he doesn't know it.
What do you mean?
Well, I helped Harriet burn some rubbish yesterday, so she told me to help myself to some candy on the way out of her house. Well, I didn't see the jelly bean she meant for me to take, so I just latched onto the box of French chocolates. It wasn't until today that Harriet told me that old Marvel had bought the chocolates for a special occasion. Gee, if he finds out I swiped them, he'll drub me till I'm simple.
Mr. Conklin wouldn't lay a hand on you.
It's not his hand I'm worried about. When he gets through drop-kicking the seat of my pants, he'll look like the lobby of Grauman's Chinese.
Well, take it easy, Raffles. Nobody's going to put the finger on you around here.
Well, everything's working out just splendidly, Miss Brooks. Oh, hello, Mr. Martin.
Good evening, Mr. Conklin.
Sir.
I have the honor to inform you all of the fact that, thanks to my warm and endearing personality, Tex Barton has consented to enroll at Madison High immediately.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, congratulations, sir.
You're a Lulu Marblehead. I mean, that's great, Mr. Conklin, just great.
Well, this calls for a celebration. Now, you men stay right here. I'll go out and get the dishes to the dinner table. I thought I'd better get the dishes, Mrs. Davis.
All right, dear. I just checked what we'll need on the kitchen table. Did Mr. Conklin tell you the thrilling news about Tex here?
Yes, he did. Well, needless to say, Tex, we're all delighted to have Clay City top basketball star as a Madison pupil.
Hold on a minute, Miss Brooks. About that basketball stuff, there's something you ought to know.
You mustn't try to carry so many dishes at once, Connie.
Oh, I can manage them all. What were you saying, Tex?
Well, it's like I was telling Miss Davis. You must have me mixed up with my brother, Vince Barton. I never played no basketball for Clay City.
We heard a crash. What happened?
Hey, what is it, Miss Brooks?
Nothing. I merely dropped a few dishes.
Oh, let us help you pick them up. Here, I'll take the plates.
I'll take the soup bowls. And I'll take the cups and saucers. You've got to be more careful, Miss Brooks. Here, you can hold this large platter.
Thank you.
Shucks, I don't know what made Miss Brooks get so skittish all of a sudden.
Oh, just forget it, boy. Forget it.
I don't understand. All I said to her was that she had me mixed up with my brother Vince, and that I never played no basketball for Clay City.
Let's make it unanimous.
Of course, there's one point I think I ought to clear up. I said I never played no basketball for Clay City, but I didn't say I never played no basketball. It's just that this being my freshman year, I wasn't able to straighten out my credits till a couple of weeks ago.
Nevertheless, the fact remains.
I don't like to brag. After I worked out with the team for a few days, why, all the coaches agreed my brother Vince was almost as good as I am.
Nevertheless, the fact remains. Vince was almost as good as you are?
Yes, sir.
If I said it once, I'll say it twice. This calls for a celebration. Is dinner ready, Mrs. Davis?
Not quite, Connie. It'll take about a half hour yet. Why don't you all go in the living room and wait?
Oh, but I'm starved. If I could just take something with me to nibble on, I'd say, what's this? Loofler for chocolates. Well, I see we have another prankster in our midst.
A prankster?
Yes, yes. This candy is sold only in novelty shops. I bought mine early this year for fear they'd run out. I'm going to send a box to Jason Brill on April 1st.
But I don't understand, Mr. Conklin. What's in the chocolate?
What isn't in them? There's enough pepper and spice in each one to have Brill clutching his bloated bay window for hours.
Very funny.
Are you positive these are the same kind of chocolates you bought, Mr. Conklin? Loop Lerpa?
Loop Lerpa is simply April Fool spelled backwards.
Candy, it would taste funny, wouldn't it?
Well, that's the beauty of this particular brand. It's got a sweet coating that disguises the pepper. It takes about an hour to work, but once it catches on, oh, brother. Oh, brother.
Tex, speak to me. Why are you turning that color?
I'm a-getting out of here.
Getting out? But why? What's wrong, boy?
I'm a-going back to Clay City.
No, but Tex, you... At least nobody never tried to poison me down there.
I'm beginning to feel like an emotional yo-yo.
Well, you'll find it out sooner or later, Mr. Conklin. Tex ate a whole box of those candies.
What? But how did he get them?
They were a gift.
A gift? But he's liable to be laid up for a week. And if he doesn't play Friday night, we're certain to get possession of that reeking goat, Cornelius! Now then, Mr. Boynton, Denton, Miss Brooks, I demand to know who gave that candy to Tex Barton.
Mr. Conklin, I can disclose the identity of the culprit with one word.
And that word is...
This is Vern Smith reminding you to tune in next week to another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Palmolive Shave Creams. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written by Al Lewis and Joe Quillen, with the music of Wilbur Hatch.
From March of 1951, it's been Our Miss Brooks with Tex Barton, basketball star. In a moment, we'll enjoy Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Arthur Godfrey was first heard on CBS in April of 1945. His career, though, began in Baltimore in 1929. While listening to Saturday Night Function, an amateur show on station WFBR, Godfrey and some friends decided to storm the station and thrust their talent upon the unsuspecting world. In 1930, he was added to the NBC staff as an announcer for the network's Washington outlet. By late 1933, he was hired off by the competition that later became WTOP of CBS in Washington, D.C. In April of 41, WABC, the affiliate in New York that would later become WCBS, began carrying his Washington show in Greater New York. In October of 42, Godfrey began announcing for the new Fred Allen show, the Texaco Star Theater. Godfrey was fantastically popular with his listeners, but his success on the air is still an enigma. He really couldn't sing, he couldn't dance or act, He wasn't even the cleverest ad-libber on the air, but the charm of Godfrey was his spontaneity. It was once estimated by CBS that Godfrey was heard by 40 million listeners a week. In July of 46, CBS signed Godfrey to a weekly nighttime program, Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts, which soon nestled among the top 20 shows. But his demise was an embarrassing one. In October of 1953, in a controversial dismissal of Julius LaRosa live on the air and the subsequent firing of bandleader Archie Blyer, those actions marked the beginning of the end for Godfrey. His popularity after that dipped sharply as he was rebuked by media critics for his brash handling of the LaRosa affair. He continued his network show until he took it off the air himself, broadcasting an emotional farewell in April of 1972, exactly 27 years to the day after his CBS program began. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear and Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts from April of 1950, another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Arthur Godfrey and his Talent Scouts.
Here comes Arthur Godfrey, your talent scout MC. You know it's Arthur Godfrey when you hear them play.
It seems like a night. Heaven is all true.
Thank you. Thank you, George Bryan, Peggy Marshall in the Holidays, Archie Blyer in the orchestra. And a special welcome to you folk who were kind enough to come to the studio tonight to help us pick a winner. Greetings to you one and all, and I'm very happy to announce that I have found the solution to New York's water shortage. I really have. All you got to do is take that traffic cop who has spent the last 2 days in the middle of Times Square and ring him out. Oh, I passed that poor guy yesterday, and was he dripping. Jesus. Three free tickets to you, honey. Come every week. That little gal down there in the 10th row is really enthused tonight. Of course, I wasn't. We had a little rain in Virginia, but not as much as you had here. It rained a little bit. We had to stay indoors and watch television. You ever do that? I saw a boxing match on television on Friday night. A couple of bruisers beat each other to pieces, you know, for almost an hour. And then when the bout was over, they fling their arms around each other, you know. Big bear hugs. They almost kiss. I don't know, looked like a couple of old friends who were just slow to recognize each other. You see some mighty peculiar stuff on television these days. I don't know. They even got some guy now that's giving ukulele lessons. Sure beats me what some people will do for a buck, you know. Television is different in Virginia than it is in New York, though. See, in New York, for example, if something goes wrong, you get snow on the screen. In Virginia, you get ham and gravy. Well, I didn't like that one either. But let's get to the talent scout show, shall we? Our first talent scout tonight is... Oh, wait a minute. Let me find out this lady's name. How do you do?
How do you do?
Hold on. Paul, you always do that. Did that hurt your knee?
Not a bit, thank you. Do you mind if I call you Arthur?
No, what's your name?
Jean.
Jean, hello.
Jean.
Jean Jansen, huh?
Uh-huh.
You've been swayed,
huh? I suppose so.
Oh, that's wonderful. You have a lovely Nordic face. You married?
No.
You're not. That's a shame I am. Where do you come from originally?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
Uh-huh.
Oh, anybody here from Louisville?
Looks like it.
Do you know the Veep?
The Veep? Uh-huh.
Do you?
Well, not personally.
Well, don't you? Oh, he's such a nice guy. You should know him.
Well, I wish I did.
He pulled a very funny thing the other night. He was making a speech in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And during the speech, it was a two-hour thing. Somebody handed him a glass of water, and he laughed and smiled and said, "Thank you, I'm from Kentucky, sir." See, when he wants Lipton tea, he wants Lipton tea, you know?
Yeah.
Who did you bring us, Jean?
Well, I brought Joanne O'Connell, a 20-year-old soprano from Berkeley, California.
Ah.
I think she's great.
Good. What's your background?
Well, she sang 2 years with the San Francisco Opera Company in the chorus, and she debuted as Olympia in The Tales of Hoffman. And then, when she was 17 years old also, she sang with the Oakland Symphony Orchestra as soloist. Yeah. And while she was singing with San Francisco, the wife of the late Dr. Frederick Loomis took quite an interest in her and brought her to New York to study under Frida Hempel, the famous opera singer. Incidentally, Frida Hempel is in the audience tonight.
Oh, fine. Where is she? Where is Frida?
Well,
I'm very happy to say welcome to her anyhow.
Also,
I guess she'd rather sit back and listen. Also, what?
Also, one other thing. She won a scholarship.